Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the Delta head.
I get it. Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games, where we...
What do we do?
What do we do? Discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and even play some games some of the time. Tonight... we're talking about the designing part. We're designing, which we haven't really done in a while. Well, sort of. Our last episode was about traps. But we're going to try something, which we've sort of done before, but we're a little more focused now. We're going to do some, like, on-air design work about some stuff.
Yeah, it is one of those episodes where we talk about our own... game. Afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't heard, like if you're living under a rock or something, or just this is your first time listening to the podcast for some strange reason, then we rewrote a whole game system and world book and released it. It's available now at DriveThruRPG. So, yeah, we're talking about Afterlife, a post-apocalyptic fantasy role-playing game that we designed ourselves. And it's been out for a couple years now? A
couple years. And we played and did some like testing and redesigns, pretty extensive, you know, play testing and like drafting process with our friends and our just like, you know, regular role-playing group to get it to the point... where we put the book together and published it, but I would say that at the time, well, we weren't super familiar with very many other games, right? We played Torg and dipped our toes into D&D and not like D&D very much. So I think like the version of Afterlife that's out there is maybe not the best game it could be.
Yeah, and like I think. Part of that is because we wrote it along, like we started working on it a long time ago.
Yeah.
And just like building on it, right? So like, you know, everything kind of, all the changes we made to get it to the publishing point were like based on what we had done before.
They were stacked on top of each other.
And like.
In not know, always like the most elegant or compatible ways.
We didn't nail it the first time.
Right.
Right. So like everything kind of, you know. Was built on a flawed thing, and so that has a flaw. And like, yeah, like Cosmo said, we were disenchanted by D&D, but then we accidentally kind of ended up making...
Well, we used a kind of, like, a version of D&D's attribute modifier, like Roll D20 system, because it was, like, at the time, it was a really familiar and, like, mentally accessible thing to everyone we played with, I feel like. And, you know, people kept trying to do the wrong math with the
skills and attributes.
Yeah, the table like, that we had that, like, gave you a difficulty to hit. Which, and then, you know, I learned a little bit more about it. We sort of, like, invented the THACO, like, the to hit. The old version of armor class from D&D, we did a weird version of that. People didn't understand it, and we were like, well, if we take just, like, one axis of this math away, then it's like this, and it looks like, you know, it looks like D&D or Five Torches Deep or Shadow Dark, where you just roll a d20 and add a bonus or a penalty to it. And so that's kind of what we went with after designing a lot of other stuff around not that, because we thought it would just, you know, we thought it would read easier for other folks. And
Real quick, just some signposting. We're going to remember about Afterlife, which is what we're doing now.
We're going to do some remembering.
And then we're going to talk about like the new attributes and role system we're thinking about, and then kind of from there move on to like what else we need to... If we change the attributes and role system, we're going to need to do some other edits and like trying to preserve... Something we think is really cool, which, you know, I guess we can talk about right now.
Let's talk about that.
Currently in Afterlife.
I think fundamentally, like, the version of Afterlife that we released is not the best version of, like, the role-playing game that it could be. For a lot of different reasons. But it's also, like, it's also the first sort of creative thing that we ever collaborated on, that we were excited about together. And there's stuff about Afterlife as a setting, this, like, you know, post-apocalyptica with magic and sci-fi and, you know, danger and, like, dungeons and stuff brought into a future sci-fi setting. There's just, like, there's everything about it that I love, and I want it, like, I want to play in it, but I want the game that we play to be, like, the best version of the game that we could make. And currently it's not that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're thinking about, like, a second edition or a Afterlife 2 or whatever we end up calling it.
Right. But there's some things we want to preserve. Mm-hmm. And specifically, the, like, damage table and wounds.
Mm-hmm.
We spent a lot of time on that, and I think it is, like, the one of the best things about the system as it stands right now.
It was always a weird thing to explain to people, but I was thinking about it the other day, and it's actually, like, really fucking simple. Like, every attack or weapon has a damage value.
Yeah.
And you also have a toughness value on every, like, character or monster or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the damage value, you subtract the toughness value from it, and that gives you a lethality value, and then you roll on whatever that is on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was is a D10 on... So there's, like, 20 levels of lethality. We didn't call it that, but that's how we're...
Yeah, that's essentially what I believe the verbiage in the book is, like, the damage tier.
Yeah,
but, like, the lethality, tier, like, right?
So House a 20 is gear. 20 is most lethal. One is least lethal. You're probably just going to, like, get a bonk, and it's not going to hurt you or slow you down very much. But all the way up at 20, there's high probability you're going to die. So if your toughness is so much lower than the damage coming at you,
it's going to be ouchy.
It's going to hurt you worse. Likewise, if you have good armor and high toughness, and someone hits you with, you know, just a stick, you're not gonna suffer very much for that.
Right, but it's progressive, so, like, the more you get hit with that stick, the more, like, lethal that becomes. It's not, like, linear where it's like, oh, well, I get hit with a stick.
I can stay here forever.
I take one damage each attack.
Character with one damage stick can never hurt me. Mm-hmm. That's never how it was
meant to be.
And that's also how it was misinterpreted multiple times. Which I think has more to do with our, you know, writing and communication skills and design skills at the point.
Than, like, the formula. So we really like that. Mm-hmm. And, like, the, you know, as an example, like, the table starts, you know, lower damage or lower lethality tiers, like, can't kill you. Mm-hmm. And then, like, around 10.
10 or 11 is, the, like, first you could just straight 1 out of 10 die. Chance to die.
Yeah, you have a 1 out of 10 chance just to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kill shot.
And then that that percentage increases the rest of the way down until, you know, if you're rolling a D10 on the 20 lethality tier, then you're almost guaranteed to die, which is a situation. So you're just, like, you're meant to play the game where you don't get into that situation. Or if you do, like, you're really risking it for something. That also, we've talked about, and this is more a psychology thing, but, like, both of us have kind of, like, pulled the punch a lot in that situation, and that I think is something we'll get to. I like the table the way it is, but I think it maybe needs a little bit more variety inside of it. Keep it with the lethal, but it should be a little bit more mixed up, and not mixed up, but there should be more different things that can happen. And when we talk about the next thing that we're thinking about, which is a change to attributes and roles, once that's established, then we'll have ways to introduce different injuries. Because, like, you know, you have a broken finger that makes it impossible to, you know, shoot your gun anymore. Yeah. We could affect specific things with specific injuries. And
as a teaser,
broaden that.
You mentioned, like, pulling punches, and that is an episode that we are kind of working on, and I want to do a whole deep dive on this, like, I guess, psychology and, like, the general pulling punches and killing characters. I know we've talked about it before, but I think we got a new, fresh angle. Future episode. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Not this episode.
No, not this one. This time, this one, what we're talking about next. So, yeah. Anything else we want to say about Afterlife that is, and new Afterlife as we're...
Well, so, I think we should talk about the attributes and, like, as they stand right now.
Okay.
Right? So, because when we created the character creation and, like, the attributes that would, you know, dictate character stats in Afterlife, we were thinking that D&D makes it too complicated. You don't need all that shit. And, like, you know, they have attributes and skills and then, like, proficiencies and all this crap. So we were like, oh, well, you know, basically it boils down to, you know, we have seven, like six plus speed or something like that, mm-hmm. right? And
we separated speed specifically for the...
like grid combat.
For grid combat, for the way that we... for the way that we played, putting the battle map up on the TV and using just like a square grid.
So in the attributes, we had two physical, and we didn't split them up like this. This just helps me remember because I didn't bring the book in here in the recording studio. So we had like dexterity, strength. Then we had, is charisma mental? Whatever.
Mm.
We had the mental attributes, right? Perception and mind, and then personality.
Yeah.
Charisma. And then toughness. And toughness also acts as health.
Yeah. Which, so up until that point, it's a lot like it's a lot like we ported over D&D, which we didn't initially mean to do.
Any role-playing game, too, like Fallout the six, with the special
system.
Yeah,
the six basic stats and then, like, a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, toughness was a direct... because we didn't have hit points.
Yeah.
You had your toughness attribute.
Right, because we wanted it each combat to be quick and lethal for both sides. And, like... You know, so we had toughness, which... is out of the same pool, and then we, you know, settled on the pick 69 because it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 69 attribute points to distribute between those six attributes, right? Dexterity, strength, mind, perception, charisma, toughness.
Yeah.
And, you know, the higher they are, the better bonus you have. And then I believe it's 10 is 0, and then 9 is minus 1.
Yeah.
And 12 is plus 1.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, we like that because, like, the way we did skills is, like, it's just a plus 1 to your roll. And, like, we kind of separated. And this is something else that nobody really ever got. Is, like, skills don't necessarily have to be chained to an attribute. Like, you can right. intimidate with... strength.
That we thought that was a pretty something. We thought that was a pretty important distinction between like the mechanics of D&D, where I think you got 18 skills, and those are set,
mm-hmm.
right? And they also are tied to their parent attribute, which I feel like just specifically with 5e, it's just a really over-designed thing that, like, everyone can recognize as D&D, but, like, you know, why? I don't know. But, yeah, our idea was that, you know, you got to pick seven skills, and you could make them up. One mm-hmm. was the thing. You could make up whatever you wanted and say, this is one of my seven skills. And then at any point, you could argue, you know, to your game master, can I use this skill to give me a little boost when mm-hmm. I roll in this attribute?
Right, so like,
and
say you gunslinger skill.
Yeah.
I'm a gunslinger, I'm good at gunslinging, I have mm-hmm. the gunslinger skill. Okay, and then like, you know, in the run of play, it's like, roll me a perception to see like how tough these guys are.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I want to use my gunslinger
mm-hmm.
skill because I'm eyeballing them like we're going
to have a shootout, and that...
You know, I want to know which hand is dominant.
Yeah, reinforcing the fantasy of me being my character, it makes sense that, like, this gunslinging skill that I came up with and kind of like built my character around that I should be able to use it in this situation. Mm-hmm. Game has to be like, cool. And then you could be like, can I use...
I also use it to shoot them.
Yeah. Can I use Gunslinger, though, to like... you know, get a better deal on a hotel room, your game master might be like, I don't think so. Unless you're like, are you intimidating him for a better, you know?
Right, like I show him my gun.
Yeah. And then maybe he's like, no, that doesn't work. Sorry, you can't use that. Mm. He's used to everyone who comes in here packing heat. So, no, he's not intimidated
not
by
impressed.
That. Yeah. And yeah, that was just, that's an idea that,
well, and
it was hit and miss with
what
different
it turned out to be is there were just better attributes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Dex, very important mm-hmm. in the afterlife.
Because it was good for ranged combat. It was good for all this movement stuff. It was also what you needed. It's what you rolled on. It added to your not get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Yeah.
Just... Yeah. It was maybe, you know, out of the six, it was like 30% of what was important, and then everything else got a much smaller piece of the pie.
Yeah.
With...
Like, if you had a high dex, you were a god.
Yeah. And then charisma would get dumped a lot, but it was really important because it affected every social interaction, but, like, for combat and, like, adventure, dungeon stuff, it didn't help you. So a lot of people would be like, yeah, that's not... And we just... Players optimized, probably without even, you know, thinking about it or realizing what they mm-hmm. were doing half the time. They optimized fun out of the game system because there is...
some clear winners.
Yeah, there are some flaws in its fundamental design. Which... Is what we're thinking about addressing.
Thinking about changing.
Yeah. So,
New idea.
Yeah, new idea. Last year, we kind of had this, like, same conversation. Or, man, this was almost 2 years ago. We kind of had this same conversation where we were like, new version of Afterlife, maybe? And I brought a prototype, which was basically a Mork Borg or Cyborg hack. And... Functionally, that was fine, but it didn't capture everything, I feel like. It didn't capture everything about Afterlife. When you reduce everything to, like, one role, there was only four attributes, because you really don't need that many. Just, like, everyone is rolling a lot less. Your gear becomes pretty important, and the other things that define your character aren't very important, and there's not a lot of room to play. Because if the difficulty is always 12 for everything, then, you know, even so much as a +2
really helps.
Radically changes the dice math. So things like, you know, things like gear bonuses or skills or like perks that make you better in a certain situation, they basically all turn into like, well, I win. In this situation, like once a day, I can just win for free.
Mm-hmm.
But... There's some things we liked about that design. One, we like that the game master doesn't have to roll for the monsters and the enemies and stuff. And we also like that the difficulty is always known and never something you have to check
mm-hmm.
or reference or look up. Even if it's just like your sticky notes for a monster you threw together as a game master. No, because the difficulty is always the same for everything. It's always 12. And mm-hmm. if you want to make something more difficult, you just... It has to happen more times, or it has to happen multiple times in a
right.
row.
Or you give, like, in that specific instance, a disadvantage, or,
yeah.
you know, you change it, you know, that way based on the role. So it's like, oh, the difficulty is 12, but, you know, you have a -2 because it's dark or
yeah.
something like
so
that.
So it's actually 14.
Right.
But, you know, still doesn't really change that much, and that math margin is really narrow. So if they've got a device that, like, you know, oh, I've got, you know, thermal optics, mm-hmm. and they give me +2 when I'm operating in the dark, or they let me ignore the penalty of you operating in the dark. And
yeah.
those are cool design ideas, but it just, like, is such a, it's such a thin space to work in.
Mm-hmm.
So we had another idea.
And it kind of goes against, on the surface, because we're... What we're proposing is more attributes.
Yeah. But I think reducing everything, simplifying everything is an impulse I've had for a while, and I think it's great for like one page, one shots, you know. Like I enjoy the design challenge of fitting a whole thing on one page, but that's not necessarily what everything should be. Leastwise a full game, you know.
Yeah. I think it's simplifying stuff is fun, but less lasting fun, if that, in longer campaigns.
Yeah,
like it's it doesn't work, because like if there's any sort of progression, you get really good really quick.
Mm-hmm. Or if there's no progression, then you know you get bored.
Yeah,
you get bored with what you have, because it doesn't change, and the only thing that changes is gear.
Yeah, so those are the things we liked, and that's where this idea came from, right? Is we liked having known difficulties, players roll for everything, and you know that idea of not like accidentally, you know, making a god stat.
Yeah.
Right. So scrapping the 6+ speed attributes.
So no D&D.
Speed kind of stays the same, but you know that's something that
there'll be a thing that'll come out of that. And maybe we'll be able to get speed out of something else. But I also like, I don't love that. I don't love doing a math problem like where you get speed by taking
you know, plug this into this equation and pop out your speed. Yeah. But so let's ignore speed for now.
Yeah.
So thinking about character actions in a role-playing game, right? We kind of made, I don't know what you would call it, like companion attributes. They're paired attributes.
Almost like, well, this doesn't hold true for all of them. Almost like one is a check and one is a save, but that's not.
That's not exactly true.
Yeah. It is true for a couple of these.
Yeah, like the combat stats, you would call them, I guess, right?
Yes. So let's go through this. So there's pair for ranged combat. There's shooting and dodging. Shoot and dodge. Two attributes that govern that entirely. Then there's melee. There's a hit and a block. So those are like a check and a save, or an action and a save. They're separate attributes, so you can't, like, the way dexterity used to be,
is like,
or
that would,
like is in some games, where
it would apply to getting shot at and getting, you know, swung on.
Yeah, so it's better than everything.
Yeah.
We're avoiding that because you would have to spread your points between these four. So those four, shoot, dodge, hit, block, would govern combat almost entirely. Aside from some, like, edge cases, like, you know, a grenade blows up next to you, maybe, or something. You know.
Right.
And then physical. So there's strong and quick, or strong and, like, coordination, agility, something like that. The dexterity tab. The strength and dexterity combo. One and the other. Now, in this case, they're not check and save. They're opposite sides of, they represent the two aspects of physicality.
There's muscles and then there's speed, right? But we can't use the term speed because that's something else.
Right. And then the mental is your senses, your perception basically, or, you know, your wisdom.
How you perceive the world.
And then your cleverness or your intelligence, your mind attribute, which
how
is
how you analyze.
Yeah, analytical, critical thought, cleverness. And then personality. And in that, we also have it just kind of split, friendly and scary.
Right. Two sides of the spectrum.
And I like that because, you know, it covers a lot of things. And you could be, you know, you could be really scary and you'd be like, okay, I want to haggle for this. Or you could haggle with your friendliness. And it kind of depends who the NPC is, which thing are they going to respond to. Right. You know, better to.
And it also, I like this a lot because for like charisma roles, right, interpersonal stuff, and like I think we've done an episode about this, maybe we do another one, but like you ask the player as a game master, okay, what do you say?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then they say their thing, and then you can be like, okay, well, that sounds pretty scary. Yeah. Give me a scary roll.
Are you doing a scary? That sounds like a scary.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if you ask a player, you know, that same thing, but say they freeze up. You know, mm-hmm. they're a new player. They're not super comfortable with the, like, the social role-playing scenes as much. And they kind of like, well, you can give them a real easy binary choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you trying to be friendly or you're trying to be scary?
Right.
Okay. And you don't have to say exactly what you say. Just give me a, like,
right.
Give me a rough, you know, description of sorta on the, oh, you're friendly? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, you can use
and maybe I'll call
leading
for a
questions.
Role.
You know, it's like, okay, well, like, you know, are you trying to be friends with the guy? You know, you like ask him, how's his day going? Well, that's pretty friendly, right? Do you go up and be like, I'm gonna punch you? Well, that's pretty scary.
Yeah, that's maybe not. yeah. So, I think we're pretty dead set on those. What is that? 12?
10.
10. Those 10. So there's shoot and dodge, hit and block, strong and quick, senses, perception, whatever, and cleverness. And then friendly and scary.
One thing we didn't say, talking about afterlife, is we, because it's post-apocalyptic and we have guns and everything, we did do a decent amount of work to balance like melee combat with weapons.
Yeah. That was an early thing that came up. Is like, well, what can I do if I've got a shield and a sword or a hammer? Mm-hmm. These guys can just shoot me.
Mm-hmm.
And we tuned the game a lot to allow for.
And I don't think it worked.
I think it maybe like overswung in the wrong direction. And you could still like. The gun could still do its thing. It could still like stand off and.
And I think what ended up happening is players with a gun are really good. Players with a melee weapon are really good. Bad guys with a melee weapon are kind of ass.
Yeah. Bad guys who want to fight you close up, they fucking die.
Mm-hmm.
Bad guys to succeed have to like.
They had to beat your dex, right?
Yeah.
And, like, Dex was also shooting and stuff.
Right.
Which is why, you know, problem.
Which is a problem that, ideally, this is going to solve.
Right. Yeah, so, like, splitting up the combat, I think, is really good. And we talked about, like... So, like, the dodge action is only for being, like, shot at or ranged attacks,
mm-hmm.
right? Where the block is for melee. So, like, if you're like, yeah, I'm a great gunfighter, I'm going to, you know, dump into shoot and dodge... Somebody gets close to you, you can't defend with dodge. You've
right.
got to defend with block. Right? And then we talked about, like, there's some edge cases and, like, you know... I don't know if that comes into this conversation. Are we talking about skills versus perks?
Maybe a little bit, but let's...
I guess, so...
Let's nail down...
Before we had skills,
about.
Right? Yeah. We talked about that. And now we're thinking, take that out, because that didn't really work. Our idea... Still cool, but just, like, never, like, was really understood and, like, just
mm-hmm.
wasn't good. So we were thinking of taking out skills and adding perks in the place of skills. So, like, you can do specific things in specific situations where it's not just, like, a blanket plus one to your role in this situation. It's like, you know, I have the... I don't know, the trench fighter skill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a gun user... But I can block pretty good with my gun.
Mm-hmm. Something, yeah. Like that. But before... Okay, so those 10 attributes we definitely like, I think.
Yeah.
And we're waffling on a couple other things. But, so our initial idea was to pivot to a roll-under system.
Yeah.
Where, so you have these 10 attributes... Shoot, dodge, hit, block, strong, quick, senses, clever, friendly, scary. And you would assign points to them to increase their value, and then it would be a d20 roll under.
Right. Because it's just natural for the higher the stat, the better you are at it, right? Yeah. So that's what the roll under system is. You know, if you have a 19 in a stat.
Yeah. I've got 19 shoot. Well, then I'm almost always going to hit my shoot.
Unless it's a 20.
Yeah. You succeed. It would be written into that, mm-hmm. that you can't have 20 because right. there always needs to be at a least like the failure. Marginal chance
right. of because failure. A critical failure is
has
a
to,
failure.
Yeah, it has right? to be there. Then, and we like that, mm-hmm. and but the thing that we're thinking about next doesn't change anything mathematically, but it does change the verbiage a lot, and I think that's why I like this idea better, is instead of a roll under system, we switch it so that all of your attributes, all 10 of those, they start at 20, mm-hmm. but you use your pool of points to buy them down.
Right. Which is counterintuitive at the beginning.
Yeah.
But more intuitive when you start rolling because right. higher roll is better.
Higher roll is better. Players think that way. Everyone mm-hmm. thinks that way. You want to get a 20 on your D20. So instead of rolling under, you're rolling over. You buy down your attributes. So say you have a strong and you've put however many points 10. Into it. You put 10 points into it. So now that is a 10. So you've got a 50% chance of just passing every strong check, roll. Which is not bad. Could be yeah. worse. And then, you know, maybe your perks mm-hmm. can increase that in certain situations. What that allows for is the Morkborg thing, where the game master doesn't have to look stuff up or know the stats for anything. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, look at your character sheet.
Yeah.
And then tell me if you hit, you know.
Or miss. Or
tell me if you hit or miss or not, succeed right. or whatever, because you know, okay, you're trying to be scary. Mm-hmm. Look at your character sheet. It says
you have a 12 scary stat, yeah, which so means you need a 12 or better.
12 or better. And that's, yeah, a little counterintuitive when you're creating your character mm-hmm. and spending those points to reduce your attributes. That's the counterintuitive part. But then as soon as you start playing, it all makes sense again.
Yeah.
And it allows us to not change any of the, like, typical language where, you know, I say, okay, advantage. Mm-hmm. You get plus in this situation instead of you get minus in this situation. Don't forget, minus is better because you want to roll lower on your d20. That
right.
that would just, be infuriating. That would drive everyone crazy.
Yeah. And the having it be like a set difficulty each time based on the player's stats speeds up the game, because like in, you know, 5e or the way Afterlife was, is the game master has to be like, okay, well, hold on. You know, enemy's shooting you.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm going to roll, and then I got to make sure, you know, I add all the enemy's bonuses, and, like, you know, mm-hmm. they have a +3 to shoot or yeah. whatever.
Take into account low light and cover. Right. And
so, like, I got to do this big equation, and then got to be like, all right, player, what's your AC?
Yeah.
Right? And then the player's got to spend time being like, okay, well, like, you know, my base AC is this, but I have a plus here, mm-hmm. and I have a plus here, and then I have armor, blah, 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 blah.
And don't forget, he cast that spell, so yeah. that changes this. And so none of that. You take your turn. Say, you know, you use your quick to get over here and hide behind something, and then you pop up and take a shot. Okay, two real easy rolls. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're looking at your character sheet, what the difficulty is for each one. And then it's my turn, and I say, this bandit shoots at you. Give me your dodge. Mm-hmm. And you know your dodge stat, so now you just make another roll. Players are always rolling. We love that.
We love that here.
Players are always rolling. Game master is always describing and narrating, and nothing is getting in the way of either thing.
Mm-hmm. So, we think that's...
We're pretty settled on that.
Yeah, we think that is at least interesting enough to try, and I think, you know, it's got good feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is...
The problem with a roll-over system...
Yeah.
...is what are we going to do about toughness and health?
Mm-hmm. Right? And speed, I would say. Because both of those... We can't flip those upside down. Mm-hmm. You can't flip speed into a negative number. Maybe you can just make it a negative number. Fuck. No.
But we're not talking about yeah. speed.
But
at least not yet.
Specifically toughness, because... The higher right, your toughness...
We built this whole table that yeah. we really love,
the damage
based on the higher toughness you have, the less damage you're going to take.
Yeah. Incoming damage minus toughness equals lethality for every attack that hits.
Mm-hmm.
And it also holds true for enemies. And that's the other thing. That's the other reason why we need to make sure this works, so that we don't have to have a different table for bad guys. We can use the same table both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Enemies, you know, the damage value of your gun will be reduced by my enemy's toughness if I'm running a group of enemies. And then I'll roll for wounds on the same table. That symmetry is important, and also the simplicity of that is really nice, because then the game master really only has to have that one table.
Yeah.
And the flip side, where it describes, you know, what they all
what
do.
It is. What the wound is.
Yeah.
Right, so the problem is, if we're doing a rollover system, lower attributes are better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which completely fucks up our damage table.
Yeah.
And that's what the meat of this conversation is about. We've reached the meat. We've ate our vegetables. Now we get the main course. I'm hungry.
Hungry. All right. So
my first idea on this.
This idea here.
If you will allow me. My first idea is just remove, like, damage, right? Which is one of the things we liked. We liked that simple equation, damage minus toughness equals lethality, right? So you could take away damage, and then based on your character's toughness, which, right, lower is better, right? So if you have a 1 toughness stat, you are the toughest you could be, right? Which means any successful attack is going to do the least damage,
yeah,
right? Because the way we had it on the table is, if that equation, weapon damage minus toughness equals lethality, if that's 1 or less, very, you know, a glancing blow is what we called it.
Yeah.
You know?
And all that meant is that your toughness was reduced by 1 for the duration of that fight.
Yeah.
So you could still die from accumulated toughness penalties, but it would take however many rounds you have toughness.
Right. So based on the roll, right, the dodge or block roll, oh, I failed, I get hit.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look at your toughness and say, okay, I've taken a wound. Depending on what my toughness level is how bad it is. And then, like, you know, each damage effect raises your toughness, right? Accumulating toughness penalties, right? So, like, you start at 12 toughness, say, you take a hit. Oh, you roll a d10, like an old school afterlife. Oh, it's an arm wound. Mm-hmm. Take 2 toughness penalties. Well, now your toughness is 14. Your effective toughness is 14, right? So the next hit you take is going to be worse, right? So that's one idea. It works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it because it takes away weapon damage.
Yeah. I like the idea of weapon damage being in there. It also, like, weapon damage... Without weapon damage, then, like, what is weapons?
Right.
You know?
And, like, that's something that we've talked about is the way we set up Afterlife, we have this, like, quality scale for weapons and, like, all these categories of weapons, and, like, quality dictates, like, damage and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you can get extremely inventive and creative and, like, you know, have any weapon you want, or, like, you know, it's cool post-apocalyptic, you know, science and you know, people with, like, you know, buzzsaw axes and, you know, tank plate shields, but, like, also laser guns.
Yeah. Or friggin' magic.
Mm.
Boiling radiation shooting out of people's eyes.
And we like that idea because it's fun, and, like, you know, the Borderlands style is, like, you know, you can get random shit and, like, pick up weird stuff, and then, you know, the looting aspect of, like, that.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you might, you know, you might well, like, want a well-balanced character in the beginning, but in doing that, the gear you purchase is like, none of it is great, but I can handle, you know, I don't know what I'm going to be doing, so I've got stuff to handle a few things. And my gun is only, you know, fair quality. But then you do a dungeon.
And kill a mean guy.
Yeah. And like, hey, this submachine gun now, this is an excellent quality thing. And it's like basically what I had before. It uses the same ammo, but it does more damage. Mm-hmm. And that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I had an idea, and I'm still not sure where this comes from. But what if the damage table still had the same thing where it was like, you know, 1 through 20 of lethality, and then there was like a D10 or D12 spread on each tier of
effects.
Different effects, different injuries and wounds that you could take, mm-hmm. right? But what if based on your damage or what if your toughness was somehow a different value that reduced that? So like, you know, the higher you roll on the D10, the more lethal. And as long as it was arranged that way instead of completely randomly, which is the way it is.
Right. And right now. There's a note, I forgot to show you it, but like I do have a note in there that we should change that, and like in the
In ascending order from 1 to 10 of, like, least lethal to most lethal.
It's all about probability.
Right. So it doesn't actually change anything, but if it's arranged 1 to 10, then you can modify it.
Yeah.
So say, you know, you have, you know, maybe there's just 3 tiers of toughness, right?
Well, keep going.
3 tiers of toughness where, like, on the one, you know, on the baby basic tier, and in this we're getting rid of armor... Not getting rid of it, but we're reducing its value as a gear thing. But like, say you have no armor, so you're rolling just the D12, or maybe not a D12. Maybe you're rolling 2D6. Like you're more likely to get a higher number.
Yeah.
And then you know the first armor tier drops that down to a D10. Cool. Then the next drops it down to a D8, and then the best armor is a D6, which you could still die at certain tiers of lethality. But the damage dice that you're rolling, it's not a damage dice like a sword in D&D. It's, you know, you're rolling for what effect at the lethality tier.
Mm-hmm.
And you're reducing that based on your just toughness level.
Yeah, I had that same idea.
So the problem with that is now there's not a number that you're chipping away at with glancing blows and small
injuries.
There's
like a category. I had it set up the opposite. So like you want, so when the character is hit, and they roll their own damage dice, you want the higher number.
Okay.
Right? So, like...
Arbitrary.
It doesn't matter.
Higher or lower, but yeah.
And, like, you can fuck with the dice that way, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're... So, like, the way I wrote it out was, 3 categories of toughness, but then also 3 categories of damage. Right? So, like, a higher damage weapon has a... Same table, like a spread, you know, 1 to 10 options.
Uh-huh.
Like, the highest category damage is just meaner, right? Has more kill results, right? Which, works if you're trying to roll high or trying to roll low, too, right? So, like, your toughness level dictates dice.
Right. But there could be, like, an armor-piercing quality on a weapon, which automatically bumps
makes
it up
you
to the next lethality
have to roll
tier.
A D8 instead of a D4 or whatever, right?
But then I still don't really know where that number comes from, you know, unless it's just
and
like
naked. We texted back and forth like maybe age or something, right? Like in Forbidden Lands,
which is an idea I still don't hate, because the other thing that I really liked about the Borg hack that I did for an afterlife was that in character creation I introduced a size mechanic that you could be small, regular sized, or big. And I feel like what you said when I introduced that like, that was always the thing. Like, that was always allowed, like the Rick and Morty meme. Okay, that was always allowed. Yes, it was, but, like, none of our players ever
really went in for it.
Grasped that idea. And so, like, mechanicalizing the idea of size. So if you start your character creation by picking species... And in species, there is also, like, size and age, but maybe not age on some of them. Maybe it's, you know...
Experience.
Yeah. Experience, or maybe for the robot species. It's like different models or
experiences. Yeah. How I was imagining that is like experience being afterlife. You know, what do we call them? One iteration, like. Fuck, I don't know. Adventurers, right? Yeah. So, like, you might make a character that's 60 years old, but is brand new to adventuring. Yeah. So their experience is zero.
Sure. And so, yeah, age is maybe not the correct way to do it, but yeah. So, like, most experienced, you're maybe a little fragile. You've probably been hit sometimes, so you'd have, like, slightly lower toughness, but you get more perks. Yeah. Or some, like, extra points.
Right, because you've been in the dungeons.
Yeah.
But, like, you also have a bum leg.
Yeah.
And, like, one more rib breaking, and then that's all of them.
I actually think that might be it. If every, if you chose both size and experience when you chose your species, that could give you a pretty decent spread, because we're talking about values with speed. We're talking about values up to like 10, possibly. I mean, that'd be crazy fast, but maybe seven max.
I guess it depends on your game. What's and whatever.
The fastest that like a D&D character can move is probably like 60 feet
in one
without
move action?
Without like a spell or anything, like just a basic speed.
I feel like it's 45.
I've got a computer in front of me.
Is the in like one move action, and then you can double it with a dash, and you can improve it with spells and items and whatever.
D&D.
But I think base stat is 45.
Okay, I don't want the dash action. All right, creating the fastest character possible in Reddit. Okay, well, that's not helpful.
What did Reddit say?
You can create a 245-foot base movement character with
all this extra shit.
But this is like a level 20 character with specific levels and specific classes specifically to... Yeah, so, okay, that's
helpful. So goddamn fast.
All right, it looks like... Yeah, it looks like about 50 feet is the most reasonable.
Sure.
Which would be...
I mean, it depends on the scale and whatever.
Yeah, but normal 5 foot, so that'd be like 10. So we don't want it that. So yeah, 6 or 7 absolute max for speed probably. Mm-hmm. And then you could increase it with a dash action or with like vehicles or riding and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that, but then with toughness, we're talking about like, you know, potentially up to 20. And then increased by armor as well. Or are we thinking that, like, that's too much? Should only monsters ever have a toughness that tough?
Well, so on our damage table... Mm-hmm. And damage table... with the weapon damage that we have... Right? So, like, if you have a toughness of 20, there's only a few weapons that do 20 damage or more. And, like, those are, you know, pre-cataclysm, like, the best that you can get.
Yeah.
In one attack, I guess, right? And, like, then that's not even counting multiple attacks. So, like... Well, except for that's not true. Because the way we had it is... Melee weapons are base damage plus strength. So, like, a really strong guy or monster or mini boss or whatever, you know, can get up to, like, player level. Because we have, you know, some players dump some shit into strength and they're doing, like, 35 damage.
Yeah. Right? Especially with a good melee weapon.
Yeah. So,
and we're going to have to mess with that as well, because previously it was the melee weapon's damage was plus strength, and that's one of the ways we tuned it for melee to be competitively lethal with guns, is it like a base melee damage would be higher, but you had to get close.
And I think I don't think we... It depends on how many attribute points we give this new character creation. But it... Oh, no, you're right. We will have to tweak that because...
We're reducing.
Lower number is better.
Yeah, lower number is better. So we'll have to mess with that. I think we can get around that by just making melee weapons be a little
higher. So, like, this idea of, like, toughness categories and, like, damage categories. Like, you know, the damage category tells you which wound table to roll on, and, like, there's three of them.
Yeah.
And then your toughness tells you how much dice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then to, like, change that, you know, to get the progressive damage is, like, some... I singled out, like, the damage over time effects we had.
Yeah.
So, like, bleed, sucking chest wounds, amputations. Like, those drop your toughness, like, after a certain number of turns, right? Yeah. So instead of doing, like, bleed was, like, one toughness penalty per turn, right? It's just, like, if you're bleeding for four turns, drop a toughness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you have a sucking chest wound that isn't stabilized in two turns, drop a toughness. If you have an amputation, immediately drop a toughness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think that works. The question is, where does the toughness come from? Right. And, like, I think the best answer right now is part of character creation. You pick an experience level.
Yeah.
And, like, that helps balance out, you know, more perks, weaker, or something like that.
I'm imagining something like the current version of alignment in D&D. So, like, across the top, you would have inexperienced, and then on the other side is, you know, very XP,
mm-hmm.
Very XP, and then, like, I don't know what's
mid
XP. Right, and then going down, because I really like this, is size.
Okay.
Small.
So this is part of character creation.
This is part of character creation. Every species would have this, or maybe they'd just be the same.
I think it would be the same.
It'd be the same. It'd be one thing. So you choose your species, then you choose this.
Uh-huh.
Small to large.
Sure. Or
big. Small to big. Inexperienced to very experienced. Right, and then each of these nine boxes give you your
toughness,
your base toughness value,
uh-huh.
your speed,
uh-huh.
or maybe speed comes from species, and then, like, perks.
And perks, sure.
With the idea that, you know, being size doesn't really change your perks. Experience changes your perks.
Mm-hmm.
But experience also slightly modifies your toughness. Size significantly changes your toughness. And then size, I feel like, would affect speed.
Yeah.
Like, your big...
Longer legs.
Yeah.
The...
But then what are the other things you get from size? So maybe not size, but definitely this. Definitely the experience... You know, three tiers of experience.
I like that. Would the damage... So, like, how do we... Like, toughness comes from this table, right?
Yep.
That you just drew out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some formula of experience and size, say.
Yeah.
Is that toughness a number?
My preference would be for it to be a number, I think. And then, like... In perks and in spells and in weapons
and stuff,
that's where we can be like, okay, instead of a D10, where, you know, you risk, like, the most lethal possibility, hey, in this situation, you get to roll a D8, and
right.
it's less
so you
bad.
You can't get the worst of the table. Right?
Yeah. It just saves you from the worst of the table, or, you know, like, armor-piercing round, you're rolling basically, like, advantage on the table or disadvantage,
right, or something,
you know,
like that. Yeah,
so that you take the most lethal, and those modifiers can be inserted later. I think this toughness value in character creation is a number out of 20, maybe not out of 20, maybe out of, like, mm-hmm. 14, you know. Okay. Because then armor would also increase it, and that way we don't have to change very much about the way armor already exists.
True.
That being said, we're going to end up rewriting almost all of it. Yeah, I don't imagine we're going to copy and paste a ton. We're going to have to rewrite as we go, but
one it's easier so I if like you're... This. Yeah, I like okay. this. One problem I see
okay.
with this is it still is opposite of the other attributes.
It is opposite
toughness
of the other
ones. Is you want the higher toughness.
Yes.
So what happens in the rare toughness roll?
I don't think you roll in toughness. I think you roll in strong.
Okay. I am not in favor of that.
Or you roll in endurance and we add another.
Well, so here's my front runner idea.
Okay.
That I haven't told you about yet. But you might have read it. So we add another pair that is direct pair where they are opposites.
Yeah.
So you have your endurance stat that you want to be low because that's what you roll.
Because that's a roll.
Mm-hmm.
It's a you make endurance actions or checks or saves when like you eat poison or try and run really far.
So how many whatever points you put into endurance you keep as your health. So like as endurance goes down, your health goes up, or you know, doesn't have to be health or whatever.
I really like the symmetry of that, but
I'll tell you why it works.
Different from all the other ones.
I know. It's different, but speed is also different. So here's how it works is health or whatever we call it, we can call it toughness too, is the exact same as like afterlife toughness. So say you put example, you put 13 attributes into your endurance.
Mm-hmm.
It means you have 13 health. You take a wound, it is weapon damage minus health equals lethality.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as normal or as version one, your health goes down and it becomes more and more lethal.
Health instead of toughness.
Yeah. I mean, like,
I mean,
we can
or call it
toughness.
Yeah.
But
it's not in addition to the toughness we're already talking about. It's
correct.
This is a separate version of doing it.
Right. Yeah, so you still have your endurance stat, right? Which is what you roll on to like, oh, like you guys have been without food for 3 days. Roll me an endurance.
Yeah.
If you fail, we're going to assess damage. Right. And so you still want to roll over just like every other stat.
Right.
Right. So what this would do is you would create a, so there would be 13 attributes then, right? The 10 we already discussed, speed, endurance, and health.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the weird ones. Speed and health don't come from, well, actually health does come from signing points, but it's, you know, a contra.
Yeah. It's a,
so
it's
like
a
speed is weird.
Contra method.
Can come from this and like, you know, maybe we keep this for how many perks people get.
Yeah.
But, like, the reason I like this the best is because, one, I think it keeps things... We don't have to mess too much with the damage table. We don't have to mess too much with weapon damage.
Yeah.
It is a little extra thing of character creation, and, like, I haven't said this yet on the episode, but I think complicating character creation is fine.
I agree.
If you complicate it up front so it's easier to play,
yeah.
I think that's a better way to go.
I think that's the correct trade-off. And again, like I've been enamored of like, you know, single page RPGs where like all the rules and character creation and character sheet all fit on like a front and back. And it's great when you can do that, but it, you know, it doesn't allow for the like fidelity of simulation. And I think you're right. If you're going to complicate one,
it should be character creation.
Complicate the beginning, complicate character creation, which when is, you're going to go through it with your players, and when like they, okay, you can forget how you got this number once you have it written down.
Right. And I think one of the issues we have with D&D that stayed throughout the years is D&D does both. Character creation is a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, it takes you a long time especially if it's like, let's start at level 3 because 1 through 3 is boring as fuck.
Yeah. Especially if people are new, people who don't know. You can quickly click through and build the character that you want to build if you're using the online tools. Beyond, but you got to know how to do it. You got to know what all those things mean. And if you don't, then it's hard and it's long. Right. And if one person doesn't know, it slows everything else down.
Right. And then once you start playing, it's still complicated.
Then it's also, yeah.
Because it's like, where the fuck is that number on my character sheet?
So, yeah, I agree. And I actually really like the design of this. So endurance, a kind of constitution thing. Occasionally, you might be asked to roll in that.
Mm-hmm.
And you get toughness as, like, the inverse of it, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Right, so max toughness would be 19.
Yeah. Which would mean you also maxed out your endurance, essentially.
Yeah.
So, and that's the other thing that I like about it, is you're not trading one for the other. Like, the better your constitution or endurance is... Also, the more tough you are.
But that's also 19 points away
from
combat.
That you took
combat.
Away from all your other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually really good, I think. It's not immediately intuitive, but I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm. And the second reason I really like it is because I like... Not to say that, like, this table with the experience and, like, the size is restrictive. It feels that way, though. And, like, for our purposes, it's not. Because, no offense to our players, but they're never going to be as good as making up a character as I am. They just never have...
I thought of a couple other... Okay. Things that this could be for. So, if we get rid of toughness out of here, okay? Toughness is not coming from this...
Experience and size
table. But what is coming from here is maybe a modifier to speed. I think your base speed maybe still comes from your...
Species,
but also maybe it doesn't. Like, why would a frogman be any faster than a human without considering anything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think speed and perks come from here.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that we're going to eventually talk about, not on this episode, because we're already in an hour, and we've made good progress, but we can't do everything in one episode. So speed, perks, right? More experience, obviously, more perks is good. But if we're not getting toughness from that, how do you balance that?
Yeah.
I think we do an Elden Ring type thing. The more experienced you are, the more meta currency you need to learn new stuff to advance. So you start with more in the beginning, right?
Right.
You got, more perks, more mutations, or, you know, like, I've got cyber arms because I'm an experienced adventurer. This is like starting at, like, choosing whether to start at level 1 or level 5 in D&D.
Yeah.
Right? With the trade-off being that, like, yeah, you get to start with more stuff. It's going to be a lot longer, though, before you level anything
stuff.
Up or get anything new.
Right, so, like,
if you
want to
change your character. And that just, like, holds for the rest of the campaign.
Mm.
Your character is experienced, so you always need, you know, 15 points, XP points.
So, like, it would be something like the amount of perks you have. Well, I guess, okay, two questions.
We don't know all the things that you will be able to level up, so we can't nail this down right now.
But, all right, example. The amount of perks you have changes the cost of leveling, or, you know, taking a new perk or taking another level in the same perk, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you have 5, say.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 is mid, right? So, like.
And maybe 10 is, like, the max, you know.
So you have 5, and it costs, just keeping it simple, it costs 5 to get a new something, right? But at the threshold of 10, so, like, for, you start with 5, every, like, perk upgrade for the next 5 are 5 points of XP or whatever. Once you reach that, you have 10 upgrades, right? Whether they be new perks or, you know, level 2 perks or whatever. Once you have 10 upgrades, it now costs 10.
Yeah. I think, I mean,
something like that, right? Those numbers obviously something are
like
that.
And then
great,
also but. Like the size thing is not very tied to your experience. So there needs to be the stuff so about size
speed,
that modifies,
but also like maybe affects your dodge,
yeah,
or you know,
right,
block or stealth or something.
Specific attribute modifiers that come from this, like, you know, big. You know, if you choose big, then like you're automatically you automatically got like 5 points in your strong,
yeah,
just because you're big.
Sure,
you know, and then, but yeah, maybe your dodge starts at like, instead of starting at 20, maybe your dodge starts at like 25.
Yeah, that's perfect. I like that. Fucking with the starting value of attributes based on your size.
Mm-hmm.
Things to think about.
Yeah. Good progress, though.
I think
we're over an hour.
Wrap up.
We've talked a lot. I guess if you're a patron and you have a direct line to us, let us know how you enjoyed. I think this is better than previous like live design stuff, like our, you know, Mountain Dew tournament episode. Was a little messy.
Yeah. I mean, I was also thinking like the other, like the, like encounters and characters, and then we ran Taylor through that.
Yeah.
Like those sucked, and then, you know, Taylor's was a live session, so that was rad.
Mm-hmm. But,
you know, does listening to us talk about designing our own shit,
get juices flowing? Does that get, people who use this show to get juices flowing, you know who you are. is this good? Because this is kind of a project that's like in the offing right now, but we're not working on it super regularly, or
no,
you know, like on a schedule. So we might use episodes to work on it.
Yeah,
maybe. Anywho's, should we talk about the website at all? Should we just put that out there?
Yeah, I mean, we still have through 2026 paid for it.
Okay. Well, let's just put it out, and then we can forget about it, but we'll come back to it this time next year and remind folks. We're probably going to let the website lapse, just because people don't go to websites. People don't, you know, when's the last time you went to homestarrunner.com and spent a long time there?
So funny, we were talking about Homestar Runner and Amelia's birthday party.
Were you guys?
Yeah.
Fuck. but yeah, like, you used to go to a website like it was a cool bar,
yeah,
or like, you know, like, websites were weird third spaces. And you would go there, and you would spend time there, and you would go there with, like, you know, three kids crowded around the same computer. That's not how people really use the internet anymore. And, you know, we're spending money on a website that nobody visits. And
right,
there's other ways for us to make the
like
little
Patreon
material that...
We
can
post,
we
can
create a
on
free
Patreon
tier on Patreon and put all our downloadable content there and just, like, you know,
and
stop paying for
maybe
a website.
Maybe there's some slip of the fingers and they accidentally,
oops,
subscribe.
Yeah, maybe you accidentally give us $2, huh? So, yeah, we're probably going to let that lapse and set up like a public Google Drive or Dropbox or a free tier on Patreon for the free downloadable material that we create and for just like updates and shit, just because nobody uses
we ain't
websites
getting the clicks
that way.
We ain't getting the visits, the unique visits. It's mostly just me.
But for the meantime, you can go to 2hgm.com and see stuff about us and see stuff that we have, and there will also be a link to Afterlife, the current version of Afterlife, available on drivethroughrpg.com.
Yeah.
And I hope it didn't sound like we were bashing on it too much. Like, just as a designer, I want to iterate and make it better. But if you know how to play a D20 fantasy game, then you know how to play Afterlife.
All,
and it's not,
all the tools, you know, are there.
Yeah.
We think it's a really cool world, and it's got some really cool tables in there, like the damage thing that we talked a lot about. But like, if you're somebody who follows the rules to the letter,
it's
probably going to be a little weird.
It's going to be messy. But more than half the book is like faction information and like geography,
geographies,
like an atlas of the world, which is the North American continent, you know, hundreds of years after a solar cataclysm, and like adventure prompts by region. So if you're just like interested in post-apocalyptic fiction, there's value in that, and then use whatever system you want.
You need a two-paragraph adventure prompt? We got you covered. We got like 50.
Yeah, so many, and we're probably not going to rewrite all that for. This new version is probably going to be a more compact package, and we're probably just going to like waste less paper.
Like that would just be a separate book or something, like
or
that.
A fucking downloadable pamphlet.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So, Patreon, join us on Discord, participate in live stuff, tell us what you think, give us episode ideas, participate in episodes, be on episodes, hit us up if you want to.
Halloween's right around the corner.
Coming up. If you were a patron, you could have already listened to it live and gotten involved a little bit, but the show is going to air on Halloween, which is coming right up.
And I'm going to post all my Game Master notes on the Patreon, but wait for the episode to come out because no spoilies.
No spoilies.
But like, if you're like, hey, that sounds like something my players would enjoy, it will be there for you.
So... yeah, thank you to the Burning Saviors for use of the song Pondalo's Finest as the intro and outro to our show. We'll see y'all next time.
See you next time.